All the songs have gone together greatly this morning. I'm going to be talking about His mercy. God is so good. I just want to thank you again, all the workers at Vacation Bible School and all of you that just work here every week doing different ministries. Just want to thank you from the bottom of my heart. God is using you with your spiritual gifts and abilities and talents, and I just want to say thank you. Let's turn to Exodus chapter 32. I'm going to start with a different scripture, but you can stay in 32. Today we confront one of the most heartbreaking moments in Scripture. A moment when God's people, the children of Israel, freshly delivered from slavery, standing on the edge of promise, but they break covenant through idolatry. Exodus 32 is not just a story about a golden calf. It's about what happens when sin separates us from God. I'm going to start in Exodus 24:18. Follow along on the screens. And Moses went into the midst of the cloud and got him up into the mountain. And Moses was in the mount 40 days and 40 nights. So let me just set the stage here. After leaving Egypt, the children of Israel made a trip to Mount Sinai. Moses left the children of Israel in the camp, and he went up into the mountain. Exodus 25 through 34 detail the time Moses spent with God on the mountain. God spoke to him in a way he didn't speak to other people. The Bible says God spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks with man. What an incredible experience, can you imagine? And God gave Moses the law on tablets of stone. And also he gave instructions about the tabernacle, a blueprint of how everything should be laid out. This would have been a marvelous place of worship, or is going to be a marvelous place of worship, where God would come down to Moses and Aaron, and the 70 elders could go in and speak with the Lord. God spent a lot of time telling Moses, here's how you worship me. We need to put a great priority on that as well. Christianity, are you listening? It's not about the rules. It's not about the regulations. It's not about the law, even though they're there to help us and to guide us. But it's about worshiping God. It's not about all that other stuff. If my relationship with God is right, then His rules are not going to be any big deal. Amen? If I'm in love with Jesus, am I going to run out on Tanya? No. If my relationship with God is right, then His rules, when it says, don't commit adultery, don't commit fornication, and I could go on and on, whatever you can put in the blank. And, you know, even in a parent-child relationship, if the relationship is right and pure, the children know that their parents are looking out for their best interest. It's kind of like, hey, I'll follow mom and daddy's rules because I know they care for me, they love me, they're watching out for me, and I know why the rules are in place, and I'm not going to have any trouble following them. Well, Moses is on the mountain. He's getting all this instruction. He's learning how to worship God, and we need to be reminded of that. He's on a spiritual high. You ever been on a spiritual high on the mountain? Well, down in the camp, things are not going so well. What happens when sin separates us from fellowship with God? Number one, sin begins with impatience and faithlessness. Impatience and faithlessness. Look at Exodus 32:1. And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, up! Make us gods, which shall go before us or lead us. For as for with this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what is become of him. We don't know what happened to that dude, that man Moses. Well, after 40 days, can you see that the people are getting restless? They're tired of waiting. Y'all ever get tired of waiting? They thought Moses had deserted him. Let me tell you the same thing, y'all. When we get impatient, many times it causes impulsive, sinful actions on our part. when we get impatient. Maybe we're not hearing the voice of God. And maybe God seems silent. And on many occasions, we reach for an idol, something tangible. Anything we give our hearts to above God. I talked about it last week. These two messages kind of go hand in hand. And here's the point. When we stop trusting, we start drifting. Can you say that with me? When we stop trusting, we start drifting. Wow. So the people were looking to a man, Aaron, instead of trusting God. Israel's going to exchange the glory of the true and living God for the image of an animal, which means they're going to start acting just like all the heathen nations around them. Number two, weak leadership allows for great sin. Look at verse 2. And Aaron said unto them, break off the golden earrings, which are in the ears of your wives, of your sons, and of your daughters. Bring them unto me. And all the people break off the golden earrings, which were in their ears, brought them unto Aaron. He received them at their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool after he had made it a molten calf. And they said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. Oh, my word. Can you believe this? It just makes me sick. Verse 5. And when Aaron saw it, man, he saw how excited they were. He built an altar before it. And Aaron made a proclamation and said, tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. Well, Aaron was left in charge with Moses gone. And let me just tell you, Aaron was an inferior spiritual leader. Nothing like Moses. It doesn't take long for a good thing to go wrong when you have bad leadership. Hey, don't you believe believers need a solid foundation and solid leadership or they're going to go back to their old ways? They ask Aaron to make them a god that they could see to worship. He should have stopped them. He should have immediately turned to God for help, but he didn't do it. He gave in to the pressure. Did you know peer pressure is not just for teenagers and children? It's for adults. We're led by others. And if they go one way, we just follow, even though it's not right. Giving in to the pressure. Aaron didn't warn the people. He gratified the desires of their sinful hearts. He gave in to their demands instead of directing their attention to the Lord. Bad leadership produces bad results. How quickly it can happen. In just 40 days, they were right back into idolatry. They broke their covenant with God by committing spiritual adultery. Ever heard that term before? What's that mean? Just as adultery breaks the covenant that you made with your spouse when you married her or him, idolatry breaks the covenant that the children of Israel had made with God. If you're with me, shake your head. All right, do you understand what it means? That's why we call it spiritual adultery. Once they put an idol in place of God, they broke the covenant that they had made with God. Idolatry was the enemy that almost destroyed the nation of Israel. They were rebelling against the goodness of God. Now look at verse 6. And they rose up early on the morrow and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Hey, as the people began to worship the golden calf that Aaron had made for them, the Bible says they rose up early to burn offerings, bring peace offerings, eat and drink. And then they rose up to play. Now notice, what should they have done? They should have rose up and prayed, amen? Look at this verse in Proverbs 8:17. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Can you read that with me out loud? Say it with me, ready? I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. They should have rose up and prayed, but instead it says they rose up to play. Now, play doesn't mean they had a sporting event like baseball. How many love baseball? How many can't wait till football, all right? I'm talking about sports. That's not what they were talking about. The word play does not mean some type of entertainment. Oh, they played hide and go seek. That's not what it's talking about. You know what it really meant? It's talking about immorality. False worship always leads to immoral behavior. How many of you know of a false teacher? And most of the time in cults and false teaching, there is all kinds of immorality going on. Right? It shouldn't be in Christianity, but they justify their sin, and it's always a part of false doctrine. False doctrine always leads to immorality. They acted like the heathen, taking off their clothes, dancing inappropriately, worshiping this golden calf. They actually violated the first, the second, and the seventh commandment that Moses is receiving on top of that mountain on those tablets of stone. Y'all remember those three? Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Can I hear an amen? How about this one? Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. Woo, they violated that one. How about this one? Thou shalt not commit adultery. Okay? God's people need strong, godly leadership that is rooted in truth. True leadership takes responsibility. True leadership confronts sin. And Aaron did not do that. I got two questions I put on the screen for you. Are your friends leading you to faithfulness, or are they leading you to compromise? The ones that you rub shoulders with, are they in love with Jesus? Are they leading you to faithfulness, or are they leading you to compromise? My second question is, are you leading others to faithfulness, or are you in a point in your life where you're compromising and you want others to join you? Man, those are questions we need to be asking ourselves. You have an influence with those around you, and the ones that you rub shoulders with have influence on you. Make sure they are faithful to God. Number three, God's holiness demands judgment. God saw their sin before Moses did. Did you know God sees your sin before the church finds out about it? Now, you say, well, the church don't always find out about my sin. Thank God, okay? You don't need to come to me and confess all your sins like other religions. Amen for that, all right? But I just wanted you to be reminded that God sees everything. So God saw the sin that was going on in the camp before Moses did. And boy, God was ready to judge. Sin doesn't just offend God. It separates us from God. Isaiah 59:2. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God. And your sins have hid his face from you. He's turned away. And he will not hear. He's not going to listen anymore. Now for the unsaved, if you're here today unsaved, let me just tell you what your sin does. It dooms you to eternal separation from God forever. I don't wish that upon anyone. I don't want you to be eternally separated from God forever in a place called hell. You say, well, what about the saved? We don't lose the relationship. If you are truly born again, he's not leaving. The Holy Spirit's there, but our fellowship is broken when sin comes into our lives. And we've got to get right with God in order for that fellowship to be restored. How many are in agreement with that? Say amen. Okay? We don't lose the relationship with Jesus. He is our Savior. We're born again. But in this life, oh boy, sin comes back in. What are we going to do with that? We lose fellowship with God over our sin. It has to be restored. Now, in this story, the children of Israel needed to be instructed to destroy that crazy golden calf, that idol. They needed to be instructed, put your clothes back on. Amen? Oh, it's getting quiet in the Baptist church, all right? They needed to be instructed, you need to live righteously. So Moses is going to have to return to camp and set things straight. The God-ordained leader was going to have to step up and confront sin. That's what a godly leader will do. So Moses returned to camp. Look at Exodus 32:7. And the Lord said unto Moses, get thee down. Remember, he's still up in the mountain. For thy people, which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. So Moses starts making his way down. Now Joshua, that's who our story was last week, right? Joshua takes Moses' place after Moses dies. Joshua had gone up to the mountain part way with Moses. But at a certain point, Moses said, you got to stay here. I'm going up by myself to the top. So for those 40 days and 40 nights, Joshua's somewhere in that mountain. He's not down below in the camp. He's somewhere waiting for Moses, just like all the other people. So when they are reunited, look at verse 17. When Joshua heard the noise of the people. All right, so he picks up Joshua on the way down. As they're getting close to camp, they're hearing something. What is going on in the camp? He heard the noise of the people as they shouted. He said unto Moses, there is a noise of war in the camp. Look at verse 19. And it came to pass, as soon as he came nigh unto the camp, that he saw the calf, and he saw the inappropriate dancing, and anger, and Moses' anger waxed hot. Guess what he did, y'all? Y'all remember what's in his arms? The two tablets of stone? He cast the tablets out of his hands, and they break beneath the mound, at the bottom of the mountain. So Moses arrives in camp. He saw what was going on. He becomes very, very, very angry. He shattered those tablets. That's a symbol of the broken covenant. Did you know sin always brings consequences? Did you hear me, church? Oh, no, I got by with that one, preacher. Oh, no. Every sin has consequences. You say, but God forgives me if I go to him and confess it. But sin will always leave a scar. There's always consequences for us and those around us, especially our families. God's mercy does not cancel out justice. How many believe he's a merciful God? Betty sang about it. How many believe he's a God of justice? There's a perfect balance. That's what's going on here. All right, look at verse 20. I love Moses. And he took the calf, which they had made, burn it in the fire. Woohoo! How many like bonfires? How many just like to play with fire? Amen? This is for you. You, what is it called? Pyrotechnic or whatever. Pyromaniacs, that's it. All right, burn it with fire. Can you see it? Get a picture of this. Ground it into powder, strawed it or threw it on the river, on the water, and made the children of Israel drink of it. Wow. Was he some kind of leader or what? He made them come face to face with their sin. And they had to drink it. All right, look at verse 26. Then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, say it with me, ready? Who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. Now, last week it was Joshua. What was his famous line? Choose you this day whom ye will serve. And then, keep going, ready? As for me and my house, family, we will serve the Lord. Where do you think Joshua got the strength and the courage to stand up to the children of Israel when it was his time as the leader and make a strong statement like that? Because he had heard Moses say it right here. All right, you got to choose. Who is on the Lord's side? Are you going to follow the true and living God, or are you going to serve this crazy idol that you've made? All right, let's continue. And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him. But the interesting thing in this story is Moses was not the only one that's angry. You know, we could talk, oh man, Moses got so angry. He was doing exactly what he should have done. He was making them accountable for their sin. But he wasn't the only one angry. Look at verse 27. And he said unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, put every man his sword by his side. Go in and out from gate to gate throughout the camp. Slay every man his brother, every man his companion or friend, every man his neighbor. Wow. And the children of Levi did according to the word of Moses, and there fell of the people that day about 3,000 men. God basically said, I'm going to remove those who have sinned against me. You may be thinking, well, man, preacher, where is the mercy in that? Hey, if not for God's mercy, he could have killed every single one of them in the camp, right? And even Aaron's life was spared. Do you understand that? I don't. He was the leader. God spared his life. But those who were guilty were killed about 3,000 men. So that cleaned the camp pretty well. The cancer had to be cut out. How many have ever dealt with cancer? How many had it cut out? That's what you do with cancer. You get it out of the body. And the cancer had to be cut out. The nation saved instead of letting the cancer grow and grow and grow and the whole nation be destroyed. Let me just make a side note here. Are you listening? Look up. Our sin must be dealt with. It's like cancer. It's going to grow if we allow it to. Now, God will try to get our attention. Now, I'm talking about a saved person in sin. He's going to, first of all, try chastening. I talked a little bit about it last week. A trip to the woodshed. That's how I said it last week. Y'all remember that? Going to get a whooping. He's trying to get your attention, get you back on track. If that don't work, he's going to put you on the shelf. He's no longer going to use you in ministry. Paul used the term, I don't want to be a castaway. Y'all remember that phrase in the New Testament? All right, so he's going to try chastening. He's going to put you on the shelf. But then in extreme cases, he takes believers home to heaven early. If you're truly saved and you allow sin in your life, unconfessed, keep going down that road, he may take you home early. Now, it also mentions later in this chapter that God sent a plague among the people. So you say, well, what about all the ones that were involved in that sin? It wasn't just those 3,000 men. True. Now, we're not told how many died from that plague, but you know what I think it was? Most likely, it was everyone that was involved in that horrible sin. Everybody that worshiped that golden calf and was involved in adultery and all the stuff that was going on. Sometimes God's judgment comes immediately, right? We see that in the Bible. Other times, there is a delay in its execution. But rest assured, church, it's going to come in His time and in His way. We can't mess around with sin. All right, number four. Here's the good part. Are you ready? God's mercy invites us back. Wow. So, hey, number one, sin begins with impatience, faithlessness. Weak leadership allows for great sin. God's holiness demands judgment. But number four, God's mercy invites us back in. Praise God, His mercy is more. Boy, I didn't get many amens from that. His mercy is greater than our sin. Amen. All right, Exodus 34, 5 and 6. And the Lord descended in the cloud, stood with him there, Moses, and proclaimed the name of the Lord. He called out his own name. Verse 6, the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth. This is a couple chapters later, and God is going to renew the covenant. But first of all, he just proclaims the greatness of his attributes. That's why we sing these worship songs just directed to him. God, thank you for being that wonderful, merciful Savior. Thank you for being there. And so he is telling Moses, I am a God of mercy, I'm a God of grace, I'm a God of long-suffering, I'm a God of goodness, but at the same time, I am a God of absolute truth. I'm going to hold people accountable for what they do. God does not shut his eyes to the guilty, saying, hey, I'm just going to forget about that sin. No, sin must be punished and a price must be paid. There was only one mediator who could actually bear the punishment for our sin. Y'all know who I'm talking about? It's not a man like Moses. It's the God-man, Jesus Christ. Praise God, the separation caused by our sin was bridged in the blood of Jesus, or by the blood of Jesus, by his death on the old rugged cross. Our salvation is secure. His precious blood washes away all of our sin at the moment of salvation. We were separated from God. Who bridged the gap for us? Who was the mediator between us and God? It was Jesus Christ. And when you place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, your salvation is secure. But as we live this life, we allow sin to separate us from God, and that fellowship is broken. The relationship's still there, but that fellowship is broken. And you know what God is saying to us? Come back! Come back! And we have to go to 1 John 1:9. Say it with me. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God's mercy is inviting us back. Praise God for that. I got two more scriptures. Exodus 32:10. This is just a few verses later. And he said, behold, I make a covenant. He's renewing his covenant with Israel. Before all thy people, I will do marvels or miracles, such as have not been seen in all the earth nor in any nation. And all the people among which thou art shall see the work or the power of the Lord. For it is a terrible thing that I will do with thee. Hey, you're going to see some awesome power. And these things, it's going to be awesome, the things that I display for you. That's what he's telling them. So at this point, as he renews his covenant with the children of Israel, here's the principle I want you to get today. When do I need to know that God is a God of mercy and that he is also a God of truth? When sin has separated me from fellowship with God. His mercy and truth should drive me back into his arms in repentance. You say, preacher, I'm saved, but I'm living in sin. I have no fellowship with God. Come back. Repent. Have a change of heart and mind. Turn away from your sin. Turn to God by seeking his forgiveness. Now, I don't know what you're dealing with today, but I want to remind you, don't wait until God has to bring on the discipline. Don't wait till he's placed you on the shelf. And please don't wait until he takes you home early. Deal with your sin. Get back in fellowship with the Lord. Aren't you glad he can forgive us? Aren't you glad he doesn't take away our salvation? We just have to get right with God. We just need revival. That's what these two messages God has brought us into these last 2 weeks. I love Lamentations 3:22-23. Can you read it with me? It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Can I hear an amen? Wow. He knows we're just flesh. Keep reading. Ready? Because his compassions fail not. Wow. In other words, his mercy is more. His mercies never cease. Keep reading, ready? They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Man, we need to shout all the way home. Whew. That his compassions fail not. His mercies are there every morning. He's faithful to us. All I'm asking you to do, as a preacher of the gospel, you got sin in your life, come clean. Come on back. He's there with open arms. And if you're here today and you're unsaved, you need to come to Jesus. Your sin has separated you from God. And if you don't accept Christ, you're going to be eternally separated from him forever. So that's where we're at. Man, we need to thank God for his mercy and truth in our lives. He is the only way. If you're unsaved, believe on him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And if you're in sin today and you're a Christian, come to Jesus for forgiveness. I'm going to ask Eleanor to come. We're going to sing a song. And then we'll have an invitation. But I want to sing this song as a prayer to him. And I want us to examine our own hearts. Say, Lord, turn the searchlight on in my life. And I want you to cleanse me. I know there's something in my life that's not right, and I want to get clean. Is that your heart today? Let's pray, and we're going to sing this song. Lord, speak to our hearts. Reveal anything that's displeasing to you, and help us to get rid of it. Help us to thank you for your mercy. But Lord, come to you in repentance and ask forgiveness. Confess our sins. That means I'm agreeing with God that it is sin. And you'll be faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. Lord, that's what it's all about. Help us to be thoroughly right with you.